My thought for this morning would be to look at a psalm, specifically Psalm 121. And Psalm 121 is one of 15 psalms from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134 that are known as the Psalm of Ascent. And these were psalms that were sung by those that were traveling to Jerusalem for the three great feasts. So you could say that these psalms of ascent, were travel songs, or they were songs for the road, and we can consider them as songs for the journey of life. I recall a few years back, it's hard to believe, it's 4 years this month that I was in Israel, and I can remember the time that we spent in Jerusalem, and I remember when we were on the bus, whenever we would come into Jerusalem, the bus driver would put on the Holy City over the speaker, and everybody on the bus would sing, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing Hosanna to Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the King." And we would sing together every time we entered into Jerusalem with the song put over the speaker. It was really kind of a very moving thing that happened. And so this is what the Jews did when they came to Jerusalem for the three feasts. They would sing these songs. And so these songs themselves can lead us upwards to God in our personal walk, our personal journey with the Lord. So I'd just like to read Psalm 121. And we read, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. But the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." So there's no question we find ourselves in a time where we need help. And we need help at many times in life, and it's certainly true now. Just listening to a news report just this morning, and the newscaster asked the question, so where do we get help during this difficult time? Well, we realize, as I'm sure we've all been watching the news and getting the updates from our leaders, that we realize that the support systems that we've been relying on, and frankly that we've been taking for granted, are buckling under the strain of this virus. And Yvonne and I have talked numerous times, and with our kids, that really what we're seeing is what's exposing our vulnerability. And so we have the benefit, of course, of being the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing where our help comes from. And so we need to look beyond what we have and look beyond and look further to the Almighty God for our help. History and current experience teaches us that there's no safety plan, there's no insurance policy, there's no security system that is absolutely 100% fail-safe. And we know that you can follow every protocol to the letter, and you can take every single precaution, and know that things can still go wrong. So none of us are safe until we take refuge in God. And Psalm 121 is really all about trusting God and trusting in His providential care. And there's no question that today help is needed. And it's good to meditate on this psalm. In fact, it's even a good thing to memorize a psalm like this and hide it in our hearts for the journey of life. When we think of Psalm 121, there's three truths that I'd like to bring forward to all of us for our consideration this morning and for our encouragement. And we want to look at these three truths in a little bit of detail. The first truth is that the Creator is your helper. The second truth is the God of Israel is your protector. And number three is that the Lord will preserve you. So let's just take a look at briefly this morning these three truths that we find in this wonderful psalm. So the first truth is the Creator is your helper. In verse 1, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help." Some versions we'll have that put as a question rather than a statement like we have here in the King James. And then second, my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. So this is the first truth. And it's one of the beautiful verses of Scripture that, of course, have brought much comfort to God's people over the years. And I can remember fondly the very last visit that Yvonne and I ever had with Isabel McEachern. And I read this psalm to her. And I remember as I was reading, it brought a tear to my eye that as I read the psalm to her, the faintest smile coming across her face and just a little bit of a glint in her eye. And when I finished reading the psalm, she just looked up at me and said, "Just beautiful." And of course, this is a psalm, like I say, has been a comfort to God's people over the years. Many quote these verses in times of need. But these psalms tell us numerous things about God and His character and the help that He provides for each of us. So first of all, the Creator is your helper. One, we need to look beyond the mountains to the God who created them. Of course, when we think of mountains, we think of them as being symbols of strength and stability. We often talk about the mountaintop experiences. We often talk about mountains in sort of in the inspirational context, wanting to conquer mountains and so on. I remember when we were in Scotland a number of years ago, climbing the Munros, what they call in Scotland, and ascending to those peaks. And as we were looking up, going up the trails to get to the top of the Munro, and getting to the top of the Munro and being able to look over the vast expanse of the beautiful highlands and so on, and just making your heart soar as you look at those kind of things. And so the psalmist is trying to say to us is that we look to the hills, but we look beyond the hills. We look beyond the hills to the one who created the hills, the one who made those hills. And creation reflects the Creator. It's God who made the mountains, who is even mightier than that. So the hills draw us upward. Of course, when we go through difficult times, we tend to look down, don't we? We tend to look down when we're in trouble. And we're cast down, we're downward, and it's our troubles and our problems that cause our eyes to look downward. And it draws us down even further. So we're not to look down, we're to look up. And the hills remind us that we're to look up. Lift our eyes up, and we have to look up as we look at a mountain. So we need to look beyond those mountains, though, to the God who is higher than all. And as I mentioned in my introductory remarks, of course, these were psalms. This was a psalm that was sung by the travelers who were going to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem itself is on a hill, and it's surrounded by mountains. And so the pilgrims going to Jerusalem for the three feasts, as they were approaching Jerusalem, they would have been looking upward as they go towards Jerusalem. And of course, what was in Jerusalem? In Jerusalem was the temple, and that was the dwelling place of God. So they were looking to the hills, they were looking beyond the hills, they were looking to Jerusalem, they were looking to the temple, they were in fact looking to God as they traveled to the holy city. Psalm 46 verse 1, let's turn to that briefly, Psalm 46 verse 1, and we read, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Further in Psalm 90, verse 2, the psalmist reminds us even further of God's help. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even thou art everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So God, we're reminded, is bigger than the mountains. And we need to lift our eyes off of our problems, and we need to lift our eyes towards God, who can help us in our time of need. The second point I'd like to make about the first truth of our Creator being our helper is that our help comes from the Maker of heaven and earth. Genesis, the opening verse of Genesis, reminds us that our God is the read, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And we're reminded of that in Jeremiah chapter 10 too. So in verse 1, the psalmist in Psalm 121 says, where's my help come from? Looking to the hills. The answer is provided in verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord which made the heaven and the earth. And so when we think of those two opening verses of the Psalms, we are reminded, and just as we've been thinking here, of God's unlimited power, God's unlimited wisdom and his understanding. And our God has all the resources that we have, that we need. The whole world is in his hands at this time, and he is your helper. He's my helper, and he's your helper. The Creator, further though, is involved in his creation. And the scriptures teach us that God is involved in every detail of his creation. And he is involved in every detail of your life. It includes you. So what a difference there is to know that God, the creator of the universe, the very creator, the very sustainer of the universe, is your helper and is your friend. And so how big is your problem? How big is the problem that you're facing? How big is the problem that the world is facing? Right now, there's no question, it's a big problem. But our God is bigger than our problems. Compare it to the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of the mountains, the creator of all things. Compare it to him. He is bigger than all those problems. So as we continue through the song, after verse 2, we notice now that there is a change of speaker. And it's the Holy Spirit guaranteeing the eternal security of those who trust in the Lord. So the second truth that I'd like to consider from this song is that the God of Israel is your protector. This is the second truth. And we see this in verses 3 to 6. Not only is he the creator, he is our protector. I just want to draw your attention to the name for God that we see here in this psalm. And we see it throughout the 15 Psalms of Ascent. And that is the Lord written in capital letters. The name Lord is written in capital letters. And in the Hebrew, that draws our attention to the word or the name Yahweh. And that, of course, is the covenant name of God. And it reminds us of the covenant relationship that he had with his people. And further to that, the faithfulness, the unwavering and unbroken faithfulness that he has to his people. And so we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, we have a relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And his promises are yea and amen, and so his faithfulness is always there for you. The key word in all of these next verses is the word keep or keeper. Some other translations have it as watches. And the Hebrew word is shemar. And this means to guard or protect. And it very literally carries with it the idea of the eyelid. And the eyelid closes and protects and defends and sees to the function of the eye. And so when I was thinking about this, I was thinking just even as my eyes blink and as your eyes blink, there's a beautiful reminder to us of God's protection and his watchfulness over us. The idea of that word shamar carries with it the idea of the eyelid. The eyelid is function, is designed by God to protect and help our eyes to function. So the first guarantee that we see here from the Holy Spirit is that he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. What's he telling us here? He's telling us that our foot will not slip. And so as you're climbing hills, particularly in the ancient world, when you're climbing hills and mountains in the ancient world, around Israel, there was danger attached to that. One little slip and you could have ended up in disaster. And so the idea here is that of stability. He will not allow your foot to slip or to move. And when we build our life on God and his word, we're building our lives on solid ground. We have the idea here of a firm foundation. Psalm 37, verse 23, we read, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And so there is no slipping for those who put their faith in Christ. There is no detail of your life that is outside of God's providential care. He will keep you from slipping. The second guarantee that we see is in verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. We can recall in 1 Kings chapter 18 where Elijah was in that confrontation with those who were the worshippers of Baal. And we see in 1 Kings 18, verse 27, that Elijah was mocking the worshippers of Baal and saying, "Where's your gods now? Are they sleeping? Do they need to be woken up out of their slumber?" We can take confidence in the fact that our God is always watching over us. I'm reminded of a story of a captain of a ship from years ago who was sailing the ship from Liverpool to New York. And he had an 8-year-old daughter with him on the voyage. And during the voyage, there was a squall that came up in the middle of the night, and everybody was shaken up out of their beds and so on because of the storm that hit the ship. And the little daughter of this captain got up, the 8-year-old got up, and she asked one of the panicking passengers what was going on, and they said, "Well, we think we're going to sink because all this storm is happening." And the question that the daughter asked is my father on the deck? And the passenger said, "Yes, the captain's on the deck, your father is on the deck." And the little girl went back to her cabin and went to sleep. "Fear not the windy tempest wild, they bark, they shall not wreck. Lie down and sleep, O helpless child, thy father is on the deck." We're facing a storm right now as a community, as a society, and the world at large. But we know that our Father is on the deck. The next guarantee that we see in verse 5 that the Holy Spirit guarantees for us is that He is beside you. He is beside you. We're reminded that the Lord is the shade at your right hand. And so we can take from that that God accompanies every step of our way. And He acts as a bodyguard to shield us from the day, from harm from the day and the night. I like what I see in the Amplified Version where it reminds us in parentheses that it's the side that we're not carrying the shield. And so even where we're exposed, where our flanks are exposed, God is there acting as a shield for us. God is always on watch. He walks beside us. The third guarantee that we see is that He protects us all at all times. We see in verse 6, "The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night." Travelers, when they were going to Jerusalem, faced many dangers. Sunstroke was one of them during the day, because they experienced extreme temperatures between the day and the night. So there was the sun during the day, but there was also the moon. The moon, of course, was associated with lunacy and also with demon possession, a phenomenon known as moonstroke. You know, we often comment when I'm at the office, when things are going crazy, it seems everybody's being unreasonable and being difficult and so on. We often hear around the office, "Oh, there must be a full moon out today." And so what are we doing here? Again, we see the wonder and the beauty of the Hebrew language. We see here the use of the pairs of opposite words to signify totality. It's called a merism, M-E-R-I-S-M. And it's a phrase that's used to use opposites that includes both extremes and everything in between. So the psalmist is saying here that we are protected in the day and the night, and that includes everything in between. So God protects us during the day, He protects us during the night, and everything in between. God helps us in every circumstance and every problem. The third truth that I want to look at in Psalm 121, and we find it in verse 7 to 8. You'll notice that when we look at verses 1 to 6 in Psalm 121, it's in the present tense. And so that's for the now, the here and now. But now we notice a bit of a verse, a tense change in verse 7 and 8, and it's talking about the future. So it's promises for us for the future. Verses 1 to 6 are specific, and now we come to verse 7 and 8 to a one overarching principle, and that is that God will preserve us from all evil. You remember the Lord Jesus taught us in Matthew 6:13, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So another guarantee that we see here from the Holy Spirit is that He watches over every aspect of life. We're not promised that we're going to be spared from the difficulties and the trials and the troubles of life, but He promises to be right there alongside us. Of course, we all are very familiar with the wonderful verses in Romans chapter 8. I'll just turn there quickly. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Evil will never win out. God's purposes cannot be thwarted. Another guarantee is that the Holy Spirit, God tells us that God watches over every transition of life. We see this in verse 8. And surely, it's the transitions in life that cause us the struggles. When we have our routines, getting up, getting ready for work and so on, things go pretty well. But it's in the in-between times that we struggle, changing jobs and so on. It's the in-betweens that we usually struggle in. And there's no question right now, societally, we are in a big in-between. And so, we're seeing another example of the Hebrew language bringing together the pair of opposites to express totality. The comings and goings and everything in between. Whatever you do, wherever you go, you are safe. God is with you. Another guarantee, the last guarantee, he watches over you both now and forever. And that's a wonderful promise for us to hang on to. God is watching over you now, and he's watching over you forevermore. And what encouragement that is for us. So we don't need to be anxious. We're told to be anxious for nothing in the Word of God. Three times we're reminded here that he keeps us. Three times he reminds us that we are preserved. So whatever, nothing happens apart from God's knowledge, from his sovereignty, and from his rule. You are under his constant and provisional care. You can trust him in all things. And we can take comfort in this. And so I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I trust that all of us will take some encouragement from this song, and that we'll just continue to pray for one another, encourage one another, as I assure you the elders are doing at this time. Let's just pray. Our Father and our God, we bow before thee and just give you our thanks for this opportunity for us to connect together through the means of technology. We're thankful, Father, that we can gather in such a way as an assembly. We thank thee, Father, that we can take comfort from thy word. Father, we just pray that you will continue to be with us and watch over each one during this difficult time. We ask our Father thy blessing and thank thee for all the riches we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, whose precious name we pray.